And again, we should worship him 365, 24/7. And so we shouldn't really need a special time of the year to worship him. But this is the time that the world, and maybe that's the definitive term, world, has set aside to worship, even though it's a church function. And yet and still, we can't find Jesus anywhere else.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Proclaiming the Good News. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Proclaiming the Good News.
In week one, we looked at new birth for new life, the birth of discipleship. Our subject of study was the Apostle Paul, and we looked at Paul's life before and after Christ. And in that we saw the new birth and the new life. Last week, our theme was small beginnings, the sprouting of discipleship. And we saw Paul again. And in this, we saw Paul getting, that he got a vision of the babe or of the child, and he got a visitation from the Christ. We see Paul growing, that he went into the desert for 3 years, and he studied and was taught by Jesus Christ. And then we see Paul giving. He said to Timothy, "The things that you have heard from me, the same commit thou among faithful witnesses who will be able to teach others." So we've looked at this whole idea of giving, and our desire is to give a gift to God of discipleship in the kingdom. This week, giving in the kingdom of God, the gift of discipleship, and today we want to look at proclaiming the good news. Proclaiming the good news. The spreading of discipleship. And this morning we want to look at the Apostle Paul going and telling. We've heard the song sung several times this morning, "Go tell it on the mountain." And so this morning, as we sharpen our vision and our focus and our skills of discipleship, we want to look at how to go and tell. As we look at the message today, I want to begin by talking about Paul's burden. And that's found in Romans chapter 9, if you would turn there, Romans chapter 9. We see Paul's burden. If you go to that next slide, please. The outline today that we're going to look at is Paul's burden to go tell, the boldness to go tell, the blockages to going and telling, and the blessing of going and telling. That's what we want to look at today when we talk about go and tell. The sad thing about Christmas is that many of us are not going and telling, and that the message is not getting out there. That we receive good news, and when we receive good news, the thing that God wants us to do is go and share it with something else. And as I have been talking on this theme, that Christmas really is not the good news. It's really not the good news. Because we have so distorted the message, and we have so commercialized the message, that it's more about commercialism and stress and frustration. And that's what this season boils down to. There was a department store that had a nativity scene. And in this nativity scene, they had the baby Jesus, they had Mary and Joseph, they had the shepherds. And as two ladies who were shopping and they had bags loaded down with gifts, they walked by this store and they saw this nativity scene in the window of the store. And the one lady remarked to the other one, "Look at the church trying to horn in on Christmas. Look at the church trying to horn in on Christmas. See, you know, we have crowded out and we have switched off the light of Christmas. I was reading a story about this play that these kids were doing. And they had, again, a nativity scene with all the characters of the nativity. And instead of Jesus, they had a light bulb that represented him so that the light would shine out of the manger. And as they were dimming the lights to focus in on the main light, which was the babe in the manger, the stage person accidentally turned off the light in the manger. And somebody said, "Hey, you switched off Jesus." And this is not what Christmas is about. We switched him off. We've highlighted everything else except him. We've dimmed the main light of Christmas, and we made it about so many other things. The story is told about this little baby who was going to be christened. And they were doing it in the home, and it was a beautiful home, a mansion-like estate. And people came to see this little baby christened. And as people came in, they took their coats and they began to put them in one of the bedrooms. And it came time to do the christening service, and somebody said, "Where's the baby?" And they began to look frantically for the baby, and they couldn't find the baby. And finally, they looked under all the coats, and there lied the baby, smothered to death under all the coats. The main focus of the event had been smothered out. Let that speak to our hearts. The main focus of the event had been smothered out. Are you going to smother out Jesus? And again, we should worship him 365, 24/7. And so we shouldn't really need a special time of the year to worship him. But this is the time that the world, and maybe that's the definitive term, world, has set aside to worship, even though it's a church function. And yet and still, we can't find Jesus anywhere around. You know, I hate to beat a dead horse, but it becomes more and more real to me that there are fewer and fewer nativity scenes to purchase, and even in the yards of people. I see more of all this other stuff. We've smothered. Oh, somebody's going to hear me this morning. Hopefully, if you decorated your yard, you haven't Oh, Pastor, you was doing all right. You was doing all right, Pastor. You was doing all right. But hopefully, if you have decorated your yard, you haven't smothered out Jesus. Wow. Paul's burden. His burden, as we talk about going and telling. Romans chapter 9 and verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul said that he had a great burden and continual heaviness in his heart. There was an unceasing pain that never ceased to leave his heart. He says, "I have a like many of us have aches and pains in our body, and we focus on those aches and pains that we have in our bodies." Paul said, "I have a pain in my heart, and my pain is for my people who have rejected Yeshua HaMashiach, who have rejected Jesus the Messiah. And there's a continual heaviness in my heart. You see, I've got, as we go back to last week, I've got a vision of the child, and I got a visitation from the Christ. So I know what Christmas is all about. I know what Christmas is supposed to be about. And when I think about what Christmas is all about, I have a continual burden and I have a continual pain in my heart for my people, who are your people, your co-workers, people in your family, people in this community. See, until we really understand what Christmas is all about, we're not going to share this pain that Paul had in his heart. We got more pain in our heart because we can't buy Christmas gifts for somebody. We got more pain in our heart being concerned about other people get our Christmas list. We have more pain in our heart wondering about where we're going to gather or having to clean up or having to do all these other things. We have more pain in our heart about all the trappings. And Paul said, I've seen Christmas. And I understand what Christmas is all about. And I have a continual pain in my heart for my people who have rejected their own Jewish Messiah. I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, my pain is so deep, watch this now, watch this so you don't miss it, that my pain is so deep that I'm calling on the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Because you wouldn't believe that I hurt this much for my people. You wouldn't believe that this pain is so deep in my heart. He says, my conscience is not lying, and I'm calling the Holy Spirit to testify to this pain that's in my spirit. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. See the heart of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Is this your testimony? Is this your testimony today? Jeremiah says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. What a powerful testimony to a burden. We got to catch a burden of what Christmas is all about. And as we catch this burden, then we're able to go forth with new and fresh zeal to serve the one and only, the true and living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this burden was so strong in the heart of the Apostle Paul that I have a burden for my family to know Christ in a powerful way. But I don't know that I have the burden that Paul had. Because Paul said that my burden is so great that look what he says in verse 3. He says, for I wish that I could myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In hermeneutics, we study figures of speech. And one of the figures of speech is a hyperbole, and that is an exaggeration, an exaggerated statement. And Paul is exaggerating here because he knows that he can't give up his salvation for his people. But that's the desire of his heart. This thing is so strong in his heart that he said that I myself, and the Greek word there for curse is the word anathema. Anathema. And that is the strongest word in the Greek language that you can use to curse. And it means that a person is given up to destruction. It means that a person, watch this now, is devoted to divine condemnation. Divine condemnation. Anathema. Paul had a burden, and the burden in his heart was so strong that he wished himself to be under divine condemnation and that his people could be saved. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were tears so that I could weep for the lost state of my people. And we sing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Paul's burden to go tell. Paul's boldness to go tell. Look at Romans chapter 1. In verse 16, Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, Paul says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He says that I'm not ashamed. And I went back and I began to do a word study of this Greek word, ashamed. And what it means is, the word ashamed means a reluctance to say something or do something because of fear and humiliation. A lack of courage to stand up and a feeling of shame. Paul said that I'm not ashamed. I'm not reluctant to speak. I don't fear humiliation, and I don't lack courage to stand up. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody on the radio going to hear this message and shout. Somebody on the radio going to hear this message and shout. Paul said that I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I'm not reluctant to do something. I don't fear humiliation, and I don't lack the courage to stand up. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we sing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Warren Wiersbe tells the story that when he was in high school, he was chosen to be an office monitor. And he said that he was so proud of this assignment because the principal would entrust important messages to him to go and tell the teachers and other staff members. And he said sometimes it even meant that he would go outside of the school to deliver a message. So he was excited about the fact that he was an office monitor. And Wiersbe says this, "No teacher ever scolded me, because even if I went into the classroom and interrupted a lesson, they knew that I had a message from the principal. I never had to be afraid or ashamed, because I knew where the message came from." Do you know where the message comes from? Do you know where go tell it on the mountain comes from? It comes from God. And so Paul could boldly proclaim that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because I have this message from God. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we don't realize where our message comes from. Wiersbe said, "I could go into the classroom and I could interrupt the teacher and I wouldn't have to apologize or be ashamed, because I was bringing a message from the principal." We don't need to be ashamed. You know, I wrote a book. And actually, the book is in the bookstore if you want to pick up a copy of it. I think there's limited copies. But the title of this book is Letting Your Net Into the Water. And the subtitle is A Step-by-Step Guide to Practical Evangelism. And this book that I wrote actually covers the A to Z's of evangelism. You know, in this book, I talk about how to prepare to evangelize, how to present the gospel to the unbeliever. I have four plans of salvation in here that you can read, and when you get ready to have the opportunity to share your faith with somebody else, there's four plans that you can use in this book. But probably one of the most interesting parts of this book is in here, I talk about five different types of evangelism, five ways to evangelize other people, so that as you go and as you share the good news, that you can pick a style that fits your personality. Because see, everybody is not a John the Baptist, get in the face of Herod type individual. All right? Now, there are some. There are some bold folks. I remember Pastor Berkeley, the guy who was instrumental in me coming to the Lord. I remember when we first got saved. It was New Year's Eve. And Pastor Berkeley and I went out witnessing. And we came up to a corner, and we met two white guys standing on the corner. And Pastor Berkeley asked them, if you die tonight, do you know where you're going? And the other guy said, why are you asking me that? And the other guy said, because he's getting ready to kill us. We was bold, Jack. Boldly proclaiming the word. Yeah, Pastor Berkeley, if you died tonight, do you know where you're going to go? So, you know, some people are bold. But in here, we talk about five types of evangelism. Friendship evangelism. Testimony evangelism. Invitational evangelism. Media evangelism. And confrontational evangelism. Now, you want to find out what they are. I don't have time to get them to in the sermon, but I give a definition and biblical examples of all of them. Now, even in here, one of them is testimonial evangelism. There's a section in here that takes you step by step and shows you how to write your testimony. How can you write your personal testimony to be ready to share it with somebody else? See, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Have you at least written out your testimony? Do you have, now we're talking about Christmas, right? We're talking about giving gifts to other people. Maybe the greatest gift that you can give to God is to write your testimony out. I mean, to take a half hour and sit down and think about your testimony and write your testimony out and say, Lord, this is my gift to you this Christmas. And I guarantee you, if you take the time to do that, at some point the Holy Spirit is going to burden your heart to share it with somebody else. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. The last chapter of this book is witnessing to people in special situations.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Proclaiming the Good News. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Proclaiming the Good News, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Proclaiming the Good News. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Proclaiming the Good News. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, the website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.